What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
What is this movie?
Tombstone.
What is this movie?
Don't even know it.
It pairs wonderfully with a Cobb salad, if you're interested.
Jeremy White.
The lengths that you're taking it to, I don't think most people have a food
thing.
Like this.
Which of us is taking it to lengths?
You're saying
throwing
no.
Master's tickets on a table in front of me, and I'm just saying, I hate that and find it revolting. There's no lengths.
I'm not for sale, baby.
And Joe DiBiase.
I did have the wonder in my mind, did I have more fun with the Bills during the drought? It's fun thinking about some of those games. It's like, look at us back then. Yeah. We made it through all that.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
True or false, you never worried about the safety position as much as you do right now.
That's true.
During the entire drought.
No, I was never panicking because Coe Simpson didn't look good in training camp.
Coe Simpson.
No, I was never worried about him.
Or, we've got a Pearson Prelo here. Who else?
George Wilson. Fine.
Coy Wire.
I mean, Coy Wire. Coy Wire is like the first person I ever saw swing a golf club where I went like, oh my gosh, look how far that went.
Wow.
Could mash it. Dante Whitner,
of course. Yeah.
Hated Dante Whitner. One of my first least favorite athletes, Dante Whitner. Because most kids don't have like a least favorite, right? Usually they
you
have
like
a
everybody.
Favorite.
Yeah,
you like everybody. Me at 12, Whitner, just ugh, hated it. Hated it.
Who was your first least favorite athlete?
Mine might be Dante Whitner. The first guy you just like, get this guy off my team.
Yeah, that's on your team. That's the key.
Yeah,
like, he's on your team. I wonder who that is for me. Juan Samuel.
Who's that?
He's the guy that the Mets traded Lenny Dykstra for. When I liked the Mets growing up, I loved Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah.
And then one day I woke up and Lenny Dykstra was on another team.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand how that was possible.
I bet that's a good path here to a lot. Like, I bet, you know, if you grew up with the Sabres and loved Danny Gare, then maybe you hate Mike Foligno because they traded Danny Gale, although he was pretty good too, wasn't he?
He was, yep.
So, but like that would be like your favorite player gets traded. You're probably going to have a hard time liking the guy that's coming back on the other end. Who else played safety for the Bills in those years? I mean, Jarris Bird. I got his jersey. Loved him. He was great.
A lot of safety talk. A lot of safety talk these days. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. On WGR. It's Tuesday. It's chilly out there. It's almost like the flip switched and it's fall, but I know it gets hot again. This is just like spring and winter, right? When it finally warms up the first time for spring, you think, oh, we're made in the shade. And then it gets cold again and it's miserable again for another month. So this is a fall-like week, but it's still going to be hot and warm, right? We're still probably going to go to a Bills game that's 80. That still happens in September somewhat regularly.
Yeah.
70 to 80. High of 80 on Friday, 82 on Saturday. So, you know, we're not done with summer yet. But, man, the mornings and the evenings are different now. The humidity has left.
And
that,
yes,
is that all that it is?
That's maybe all that's happened, and it's glorious.
And there's now a breeze?
Yes.
But
it's awesome. Like, yesterday it got warm. Like, yesterday... I went out golfing yesterday, like no surprise, right? And it was like I was wearing a quarter zip when I got there. I definitely had to take it off like two holes in, but it was perfectly comfortable the whole day, and it was just the humidity.
Yeah.
Because it was still 75 degrees yesterday. So what's today going to get to, 80? But I'll be fine. They'll be perfectly fine, I think, with the humidity gone. I don't know if it's gone. I don't want to jinx it. It's gone for good.
I would take another week or two of heat. I'd be okay with it.
Like heat like we've had?
I mean, maybe not 90, but summer heat.
I'll take, as long I'm wearing like a thin hoodie coming into work in the morning at 5, like in the 5 a.m. hour. If I can wear a thin hoodie in the 5 a.m. hour, then I'll take whatever you give me after. Yeah. I'm good with that.
No more sweating at 6 a.m.?
Nope.
No more. We had what? Camp was 90. Camp was hot.
Camp was
on.
Yeah.
Camp was hot. Warm. Anyway, coming up today on the show, we've got a couple of guests from out of town. We're going to do 14 teams in 14 days, basically just kind of checking in with each and every team the Bills play. We've done the Bengals. Today we're going to knock out two NFC South teams, both Atlanta and Carolina. So at 9 o'clock we talk Atlanta, and at 8:30 we talk Carolina. So Darren Gant of Panthers.com on Carolina, which my number one question for him is like how stark was the flip of the switch for Bryce Young becoming – punchline to, actually, this guy's worth watching.
Yeah.
Because that happened last year. And then Atlanta, we'll do Atlanta at 9 o'clock, and that's going to be Josh Kendall, the Athletic, who covers the Falcons. And I feel like the question there is, what's the story on Penix, right? Number one, for both these teams,
yeah,
young quarterbacks, and where can they take them? And the Bills play both of these teams on the road in stadiums. It's one of my favorite trivia questions, and it's about to be finally done. The stadiums that Josh Allen has not yet played in. There are only three left, and it's Atlanta, Carolina, and San Francisco. And that's it. San Francisco got moved.
I always forget about San Francisco because that was in Arizona.
Yeah, that was the trick one.
Yeah.
Indianapolis last year, they played there. There was another one last year I'm going to forget right now. But the only two, it is now Atlanta, Carolina, and, of course, San Francisco. So two of those get knocked out this year.
And when in San Francisco? Probably sometime soon. I'm not sure.
The Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Isn't the Super Bowl in San Francisco this year?
That would be a if it's your favorite trivia question, it'd be a great way to end it.
It sure would.
Hey, the Super Bowl is where this will end. Both those teams are like, those are quarterbacks that everyone would probably consider possible to become really good, but nobody's expecting them to be great, right?
That's probably right.
Like, franchise quarterback, like, franchise defining, like, you're a contender perennially now because your quarterback is that good. Maybe one's is Atlanta feel different than Carolina for that, just because we've seen Young be bad and Penix, it's very new. Like, it's three games even? How many did he play last year?
I might want to ask, when you say this, are we only talking guys we have seen play? Because draft status, how much does that matter?
I would say the two guys they presently have. Although, is Carolina a bad year away from moving on from Young, whereas Atlanta is probably a couple of years with Penix minimum?
Yeah. I wonder.
And Penix did look good last year. Like, a little bit I saw, like, he's got a laser for an arm, and I like that part of it.
One fact about Atlanta is they have a lot of left-handers on the team. The center is left-handed, and the quarterback is left-handed.
Like, he snaps the ball left-handed?
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever seen
and
that
I
before.
I think maybe the running back is left. They have
a lot of lefty.
Yes, they have a lot of left-handed players on their team.
Okay.
For whatever that's worth. I mean, it doesn't really – I've never thought about whether a running back is right-handed or left-handed. But
no.
They kind of add that in. There's a cute little story about how they've got a lot of lefties on their team.
Bijan Robinson is a lefty?
I believe I saw that too. Like, there's a lot of – yes, maybe even Drake London is left-handed.
Does that help when the quarterback is handing him the ball off?
I don't know. I've never thought about it. Most of my left and right is Sabres right shot defenseman. That's all I think about with lefties and righties.
The only time I ever thought about it was last year after Josh Allen injured his hand against the Cardinals, and for like 3 weeks he only handed the ball off with his right hand, and that was weird. It was noticeable. Only time I've ever thought about it, which was like 2-3 weeks. I think he was done with it after a couple games.
Maybe it's not Bijan, but it's there's a wide receiver. I think it's Drake London might be left-handed. Anyway, okay. The Falcons starting center. Center, quarterback, running back, and receiver are all left-handed. And this comment I saw is it might be the first center, quarterback, southpaw combo in history. Look at the facts we're giving you at 6:10 on a Tuesday.
That the Falcons are southpaws.
Yes. You're listening and thinking, man, how deep is the show going to go? 10 minutes in, and we got the left-handed center of the Falcons is an anomaly.
Well, if they get good, they're going to have to come up with some sort of really good nickname that is like starts with southpaw if they're all going to be lefties. I'm into it.
Well,
I mean, he's the first. No, he's not the first. Tua. I was going to say he was first Tua. Lefty quarterback in a while, but we've had Tua.
Which, by the way, there's another one of my favorite trivia questions going right now. The Falcons and the Dolphins will play. And if those two quarterbacks play, it's the first matchup of left-handed quarterbacks since we did this. You remember? I gave you this trivia question.
Steve Young and...
Nope. Michael Vick and Chris Sims.
Oh, yeah.
2006 is the last time two left-handed quarterbacks played in the same game.
Yeah.
Which is a long time ago, and this would be the first time since then. I think it was 2006. Anyway, so the Falcons and the Panthers a little bit today. You know, you mentioned expectations for these quarterbacks. When they were drafted, their expectations would not have been much higher, if higher, than Josh Allen. Like, Josh is taken 7th overall in a good quarterback class, and what are league-wide expectations? Like, well, we'll see.
Right.
Raw, we'll see. And
Bryce Young's number one overall.
Young and Penix are in a heavy quarterback class too, right,
yep.
Beach?
Penix went 8th, by the way. So he was top 10.
Right, he did. They both went top 10. Young went number one. So
yep.
I always wonder how many teams internally would talk about Josh Allen's arc. And, well, you know, early on, it was just about making plays. And then it was about fixing some things and changing his mechanics and, you know, along the way, the evolution of what he has become. I don't think it took that long. It was about a year and a half before we thought, like, okay, you know, everything here is good to go. Year one was maybe not a half a year, but a little more than half a year.
Like 11 games.
Yeah, 11 games, it was promising. And year two, it was good enough. And year three, it was amazing.
Yeah, year three, he's a franchise quarterback. But it's the third year before everybody's like, oh, this is your quarterback for forever.
Yeah.
Like, and that actually is a little longer than it normally takes.
Yeah, look how long it took Jaden Daniels.
It didn't take him a second.
He's there. People think, we'll see if he drops back. Because CJ Stroud did drop back a bit. And there could be external factors. But this time last year, it was, oh, Stroud's made. He's good to go. He's amazing. And last year was a bit of a dip back.
That's right. But like, if you look at... Like, if you were to look at the best quarterbacks in the league right now and how long it took them to get to where they are.
Mahomes was starting year one. I mean, he sat for a year, and then his first season he threw 50.
Right, so he gets on the field and it's immediate.
Yep.
Jackson, for the most part, is he gets on the field and it's immediate.
His first year, he only played half the games
as a rookie,
but
he looked good in doing it.
I think he's a little more like Allen.
Year two, though, is year two not his MVP year? Is there one more year in between there? There might be. No, year two was his MVP year.
Okay,
so his first full year as a starter, he wins the MVP.
And leads the league in touchdown passes.
Right. And you mentioned Daniels, and Burrow is
right away.
Really good right away. Like, Allen is kind of the one guy where it's third year before he is like MVP candidate. Like, he is good in the second year, and he's rocky, but shows flashes in year one, but it's not till year three where he's good. And all these other guys are doing it, like Herbert, right out of the gates, right? He set the NFL record for the most passing yards in like his first two seasons. So when teams look at his arc, I think part of it can be how you draft, but also it can be how long you give the guy. And you might fall into the trap of, well, year one and year two, like, oh, it went pretty good, so let's give him a third, and let's maybe give him a fourth, and maybe it takes these teams longer to move off a guy than it should, because they are waiting for a Josh Allen breakout that doesn't often happen past the second year.
The best case for a guy that's happening to right now is who? Is it Tua? Or is Tua good enough where they know that breakout's not coming, but when the coach and the quarterback are matched up, they do win games?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like when you say there's a trap there, who's in it? Who's in the trap?
I think the Giants were in it with Daniel Jones for three times longer than they probably should have been.
That might be right. At least one last year where they decided to bring him back because they missed out on drafting their quarterback.
Yep. I guess the Colts are not falling into that trap, are they?
It doesn't look like it.
Like, Richardson could have been a bit of a trap, and I still think they start him week one. But
is Trevor Lawrence this trap? I mean,
he's supposed to be
a generational kind of prospect.
Yeah.
And they continue to build around him. And he's good, right?
He's good. Yeah, he's good. Is Trevor Lawrence good? Is Kirk Cousins good?
I don't know.
Like Kyler Murray? Same thing. He's good, right?
He's fine.
And those guys are at points where they're probably, like, aren't the Cardinals just like, this guy is as good as he's ever going to be, but we think it's good enough if we surround him with like a great team. Are they expecting Kyler Murray at this age to go nuclear, like take a giant step forward at some point?
I'm sure they're hopeful, but the alternative is to what? Tank? And
right, and you're
just
the Cardinals.
Have a terrible season. The alternative is to be the Saints,
right?
Who Derek Carr retired. They probably would have gone back with Derek Carr if he continued to play. Mm-hmm. And Carr might be a great example of this. But again,
and that's what the Cardinals have been for like 60 years of their existence, isn't it?
Yeah,
the Saints.
Yeah,
like weren't they always terrible? They had like a 23-year playoff drought. The Bills don't have the record. I think the Cardinals do. So that franchise especially might say, like, we have stability here. We're selling tickets. This guy is good. Let's just keep rolling with it. I guess otherwise, though, it looks like most teams, I guess, are willing to move off guys. They're not falling into the Allen trap as much as they probably should.
803-0550. Bills have their third and final preseason game this weekend in Tampa. We kind of joked yesterday, like, what should they do? How should they approach this? And I heard yesterday conversation on the air about how maybe Curtis Samuel plays in this game because they need him to get reps. Is this going to be the Curtis Samuel Cole Bishop game? Because the two of them, they need to get in. They need to play. Yeah. Is the third preseason game? We used to have four. Has the third preseason game now become, everything that went wrong for you, try to fix it now.
Yeah,
get Cole Bishop on the field. Get Curtis Samuel on the field. Who else has been hurt too much and needs to be on the field for the Bills? Like, anybody that needs reps, get them out there against Tampa. And whoever their backup quarterback is, who I'm not going to remember who that is. Who's behind Baker?
I don't know. Kyle Trask.
Oh, right. Okay. Second-round pick, right?
Who was a second-round pick and has like never played. No Josh Allen, though, under any circumstances. Everybody in agreement on that?
No way.
Especially, did everybody see Burrow last night running for his life smoked by Commanders linemen?
Are you ready for a hot take? Are you ready for the hottest take I've had in a month of last night?
Sure. We're going to call him Fancy Kirk Cousins again?
No. I have a hot take. It's maybe not quite a let's get stupid, but the Bengals last night playing Burrow, because they're trying to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
What they're actually trying to do, I'm gonna go ahead and hot take, but you tell me where it's wrong. They're priming the pump to try to get him to win the MVP. They're already showing. What do you see last night? What did you see in week one? Burrow, electric. The defense, a disaster. And they're getting early returns on, our guy's going to win the MVP. We're going to show him off before the season and make sure he's top of mind, and he's going to go win the MVP. Have you seen the numbers?
Already in the preseason.
The idea is, why play him? Oh, we want to start faster. Yeah, I know. You want to start faster. How long has he got to play? He played a perfect game in their opener, pretty much. He was nearly perfect last night again. His stats are amazing.
Other than the two times he got destroyed by Commanders linemen because his line can't block.
Right. Really, really smart play there from Cincinnati. Real top-tier organization in terms of the intelligence that they manage with. Let's throw our entire season out there in a preseason game against Washington.
That's what I mean. Like, you want him to win the MVP. You're throwing him out there to the Wolves to get destroyed.
Well, they want everybody to start thinking about it now. They want him to win the MVP, and they want to show everybody now. There's my hot take.
Who is doing that
it's
in the preseason?
It's priming
though.
The pump. It's the way that it works. It's a psyop. That's the trying to make it make sense otherwise.
Psyop.
It's a psyop. They're trying to get us to think about Burrow winning the MVP early.
But who's thinking of that this morning?
Show me his odds. Have they moved?
I
bet they've moved.
The only thing
I'm going to bet them up because this is. Give me that FanDuel Futures day. I'll bet Burrow.
His stats look good last night, but the only thing that I saw, I don't know, this is my algorithm or my feed, is the two times he got hit last night. So maybe he was was he amazing, though?
They put up 28.
Did the receiver Tinsley outshine him because he made like two insane grabs in a row?
They put up 28 first-half points. Burrow led two scoring drives. 9 of 10, 123, two touchdowns against the Eagles in their opener. And yesterday, 9 of 14, on their opening drive, 4-yard touchdown to Charlie Jones, and he was great again.
Listen though, if you want him to be thinking MVP, then you probably don't want the backup coming in and outshining him. Jake Browning looked awesome. I watched him a lot yesterday and thought that's a backup quarterback right there. That guy's slinging it down the field.
He's done that in regular season games, too.
He has. Should he get a starting job somewhere?
No. Well, maybe.
He looks good. But, man, I don't know about the MVP this early. I'm looking at his odds, and his odds have not moved.
Where are
to
they?
Your disappointment. They are plus 600, okay, which is just behind Allen and Jackson.
All right, it's a close race. You got to make sure you go ahead and get that conversation started early.
Listen, I would – not that last night is the reason I would say this at all, but I would have him above Josh in the odds.
Yeah.
Odds to win. Winning it 2 years in a row, I think you're – just the way the award works, the way the voters work, it's such a stupid science, the whole thing that goes into it. But part of that stupid science is I think it's a lot harder to win it 2 years in a row, and we just saw that from Lamar Jackson. So Allen winning it this year, I think he'd have to be 1,000 more yards, 10 more touchdowns. Like, just the standard's going to be higher. So they want a story. Burrow winning his first and dragging a carcass of a roster to the playoffs, I think, is a really good possibility.
Well, the way for Allen to get 1,000 more yards and 11 more touchdowns is for the defense to still be a mess, right?
That would be true.
And even
yes,
if they are, the Bills are a team that doesn't play like the Bengals. They are trying to kind of slow play games. They have fewer plays per game.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to play like the Bengals. They would, even given the Bengals' defense, if you gave the Bills the Bengals' defense, what would they do? Run the ball a lot more than Cincinnati does. And they would kind of slow games down. It's just their style. Right now, the Bengals. So, again, this is kind of like, again, I told you it was a hot take. The Bengals' defense in the preseason had given up 8 scoring drives on 14 possessions. Preseason defense, which is 3.42 points per drive. Last year's worst NFL defense was better than that by a good margin. So their preseason defense isn't instilling any sort of confidence in what they might become.
No.
So Burrow goes, I mean, listen, if Burrow had dragged them to the playoffs last year, he probably should have won the MVP. But he didn't, so Josh did. And this year, as long as they don't get that slow start, isn't he? Put it this way.
This is where MVP is so stupid, though, isn't it?
Really dumb.
Where it's literally like, Joe Burrow, your team wasn't good enough to get you to the playoffs. So, sorry, your team around you is not good enough to win MVP. And then it's like your team's amazing around you, and it's like, not that good.
Right, your team's
too
good.
We don't want your team to be that good.
Yeah.
We want your team to be, like, you know, average. Your team's bad and you miss, we're not going to give it to you. If your team's amazing and you're the one seed, we don't want to give that to you. Although they will do that.
Right.
More
and then there's
often.
What if I run for 2,000
yards? And then, like, Josh right in the middle.
What if I run for 2,000 yards? Sorry, you have to throw the ball.
Right.
You have to throw the ball if you want to win the MVP.
The Bills kind of have a perfectly set up MVP roster, don't they? Because they don't have a ton of stars.
And it's a really good roster.
That will take the shine away from Josh, but it's still a good roster. Right. Whereas the Bengals have stars, but they have, like, 3 of them and then a bunch of bad players. It makes it tough for him. Like, really, the other thing about MVP is is it 10 years that it's been a 1 or a 2 seed that's won the MVP in each conference?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
And can Burrow win it without getting that? Because it seems unlikely to me that the Bengals are going to be the one seed. And if it's been 10 years since that happened, maybe Burrow would be the first in a while to be like, hey, we're going to give it to the quarterback of the 5 seed. Didn't even win his own division. You want to really fire up the Lamar Jackson people, you know, have him win the division and then give the MVP to Burrow this year. That's going to be Takepocalypse and then the MVP race down the stretch. Jackson's going to win the division, and they're going to give the MVP to another guy in the division.
I already regret my hot take because I did not intend to get us into MVP.
MVP talk. It's been a while.
I did not intend for that. Well, here we are. Anyway, 803-0550. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe, Owen and Josh are here as well. The chat's open. You can fire something our way. I listened to the station a lot yesterday. It's the Cole Bishop conversation and what Sal had to say about Jordan Hancock, how he might get in the mix at safety.
I was looking up, like, safeties that could be traded yesterday at one point on other rosters. That's how far into the weeds I was going on it. Didn't really find a good one, by the way.
Well, this time of year, you get a tough internal question. How much should I worry about anything? I had somebody writing to me yesterday. Who cares? They're going to win 13 games. Like, well, yeah. Josh Allen remains really good. We're not confused about that. I don't think anybody's confused about that. The idea is also, though, to have other really good players, and sometimes people might want to talk about those other players that would, help push the amazing quarterback over the line. 803-0550, our phone number, Jeremy and Joe. Give us a ring. We'll chat about, the safety position, where the Bills kind of sit right now, how to handle the final preseason game, and much more. Burrow and Cincinnati, Daniels and Washington, they put on a show last year in the regular season, and last night on the field was good too. Brian Robinson looks like he's getting traded, and Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt's breakout began last night. So plenty of football stuff and check-ins on the Panthers and the Falcons as well here in WGR today.
Under 20 to go, end zone shot, Tinsley, come on! Did he catch it? Touchdown is the call!
Mitchell Tinsley, who caught great touchdown catches on back-to-back offensive plays by the Bengals. He caught a spinning touchdown, I think it was that one, and then they got an interception, and then on the next play they had offensively, he caught another like 30-yard back shoulder touchdown catch.
Five for 73,
two touchdowns.
Yeah, 5 for 73, two touchdowns.
He was on the Commanders last year.
Where's his ADP right now, Joe? I'm trying to tell everybody, Mitchell Tinsley
should be climbing.
235.
His picture on Wikipedia is in a Commander shirt, which is the team they played last night. I don't know if he'll actually make the team, though.
803-0550. I put a question up. I didn't want to put a poll in there because...
Should the Bills trade for Mitchell Tinsley? That's not your poll?
I mean, don't talk me out of a good time. No. How's everybody feeling about the Bills' defensive overhaul right now? How do you feel about it? How do you like their chances? Brandon Bean on the broadcast of the last preseason game where they got, the Bears game. He's asking, he's talking, we went back in, we looked, and we got to kind of turn things over on defense. We got to get to the passer. We got to get to Burrow. You want to get those, you're playing with these guys, you got to get them on the ground. And, of course, there's more to defense than just getting the quarterback on the ground. So, here we are, we're a couple weeks out from the season. You've seen the offseason, you've seen preseason, you've heard from camp. Whether it's injuries or whatever, how do you feel right now about the Bills' defensive overhaul? Confident? I feel like you want to know why I didn't put up a poll on this on Twitter? I didn't put up a poll because I felt like if I didn't include one option that was something, something, something McDermott, I would get 20,000 responses about, where's the thing about McDermott? Where's the it doesn't matter because it's McDermott, because the people that don't really trust him, no matter how good they get defensively, you've got people that don't trust him. So how do you feel about their defensive overhaul right now? Give us a call, 803-0550. I feel the way that I always feel about their defense, which tends to be I guess I don't trust it in the playoffs. And it's hard to get excited about it before that, because I've seen them be a great defense, and in the playoffs, whether it's injuries or whatever it is, like there's always a reason there. And the thing that has me nervous right now is, yes, safety. Yeah. I was nervous going into the season. I was kind of nervous about it a little bit last year at the draft, those 3 days where we talked about Malachi Starks as an idea. I immediately kind of got on board with that idea. We did not talk about receiver every single minute of every single day. I had a summer fling with safety.
I think the Friday before the draft, we mostly talked about
Malachi Starks.
Malachi Starks, thank you.
Malachi Starks.
Yeah, yeah.
That came out that the Bills were targeting Malachi Starks, and I thought that makes sense. The only thing about it that didn't make sense would have been, well, you just invested a second-round pick in Cole Bishop. Okay, that might be true, to which I... during that conversation was wanting to point to Taylor Rapp. They like Taylor Rapp a lot, and I think Taylor Rapp's a pretty good player. But their commitment to Rapp is not big, and I thought that should not prevent them from drafting a safety. Kind of going back to that conversation about safety that day, it sounds a lot like the receiver conversation sounds now, where it's, well, you can't pass over this guy because you've already made commitments to him, right? You can't have Samuel not on the roster. He's due $9 million. You gave him a lot of money. More, 2.5 guaranteed. Like, there's reason to think those guys will stay on top because of the commitment you made to a degree. And we'll see if that ends up being true. But the day we talked about safety and flirted about the idea of Malachi Starks, I thought, and Nick Amonwori was another one.
Nick Amonwori
was another one that people thought maybe they could be after Nick Amonwori. I thought it made sense to try harder at that position, especially when Poyer and Hyde were here, Rapp was too.
Right.
At one point they had, if you want to count Taylor Rapp as a starting safety, three starting safeties as part of this defensive build. When they signed Rapp in free agency, it was very much a, this guy can play, and he's going to get in the mix, and maybe they'll re-sign him. And then they did. And now, starting safeties, you know, Rapp would have been your third starting safety at that point. Now he's definitely your best starting safety. And whether it's Bishop or Hamlin or Forrest or Cam Lewis or, you know, throw another name out there, it's just, it makes me nervous because I have, for the longest time, felt like Sean McDermott, even though they talk about the trenches, he builds his defense from the secondary in. He's always doing a good job with the secondary. And last year, they didn't have the horses. And this year, well, at least it's safety. They're running back with the same horses. So there is a lot riding on Cole Bishop just kind of clicking and starting to get it. It's not just they drafted a second-round rookie. They identified him. He's here. And he wasn't healthy. He was behind. And now we're still kind of talking about that. So I feel fine about their front seven. I feel like I want the offense to be the unit that wins it anyway. But safety, I'm as nervous about safety as I was last year. And maybe more so because they're kind of running it back with a group that last year was, I think, pretty bad.
Out of 104 safeties last year, the Bills, three safeties that played at least 25%. So that includes Bishop. Ranked 50 out of 104, 55th, 87th, and 88th. And guess who was 55th?
PFF grades?
PFF grades and, coverage grades.
55th was Cam Lewis.
No, it was Hamlin.
Okay, Hamlin.
The one that nobody wants to see play in week one, right? And then Rapp, 87th, and Bishop, 88th last season amongst safeties. And that's Bishop, you would hope, is going to be a lot better than that playing full-time if he's going to play full-time. Safety's like the headline right now because we were spoiled for a long time.
A long time.
Long time. Safeties, spoiled by two awesome safeties.
They ran the show.
Right.
It wasn't just back there and reliable, which is kind of, doesn't it feel like we would settle for reliable right now? And this is not, this is not about the Bears game. It's the Bears game just kind of highlights something that we had been talking about and waiting to see, and Rapp and Bishop getting reps together, something that going into the Bears game, it was McDermott says they have to play together. They need reps. They need to get on the field. So it's not, I don't think it's a panic. I think it's just a confirmation of something that we've been talking about.
Yes, absolutely. But it really is that's not the only thing on the defense. Like, to me, I'm skeptical that they're going to be a lot better on the defense because everything they've added kind of has this, well, or even a negative connotation attached to it for, hey, how's it going with everything they've added except for maybe two guys this offseason on the defensive side of the football, you could say, oh, that's going great. Tre'Davious White, that's one of them. That's going great, right? You re-signed him, and all signs are he looks way closer to what he used to be than maybe anybody would have predicted. And it's training camp, so grain of salt, but that looks good.
The grain of salt on some level has to be like covering these receivers that don't often uncover.
That's part of it.
But sure.
Bosa, he's healthy right now. That's win. Joey Bosa, at the moment he's on the field and practicing, win.
And he had a great performance in the joint practice, by all accounts.
Everything else, Max Hairston on the injury shelf, not practicing. Michael Hoyt is suspended. Larry Ogunjobi is suspended. And maybe, I don't know, is he going to get cut? Joe Biscalli was writing about that this week, maybe. Sal was telling us how TJ Sanders and Deion Walker didn't necessarily have a great game. And the coach said, hey, we wanted to see more out of them in the preseason game, which usually implies you didn't like what you saw early on to give them more reps than maybe you were planning on. So, but I'm not down on those two. Those two might be two of my favorite ads so far. Landon Jackson hasn't done much this summer at all. Like, and then I've got my safety duo here. Like, to me, if I were going to say this moment, hey, the defense is going to be way better. 6 months into the future, me comes back in time and says they're going to be way better on defense. How would it look? Because right now, their safety duo being way better doesn't feel likely. You wouldn't be confident in that. Like right now, I might look at their defense and say, okay, that's because Milano and Bernard stay healthy and played together all year. Yeah. And we haven't seen those two together. And Milano is back to form, and Bernard is healthy, and your linebacker duo is rock solid. That's how you did it. That'd be right now, that'd be my guess. If they get way better on defense, it's those two. Because everything else kind of has a, I don't really know how that's going right now.
Right, and those two have been provably great and big-time playmakers, like splash players. The Hendrickson, the latest Trey Hendrickson stuff is maybe New England. New England might make an offer. Their GM, yeah, flat out said he's ready to make a big deal.
Elliot Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how often you hear a guy say that, but he says he is absolutely open to make a big deal right now. Maybe New England poaches Trey Hendrickson. There's also a name in New England that you could maybe think of for a Bills trade. You've seen that?
No.
Kyle Duggar.
Safety.
Yes.
Hmm.
He played late into their last preseason game.
Okay.
He is basically a non-factor for them, not thought to be on the way to making their roster. So I don't know if Kyle Duggar is someone you liked going back when, way back when, but he's a 29-year-old safety, and he is he's pretty far down on the depth chart.
The new version of a Lawyer Malloy.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Perhaps right before the season. New England, by the way, the most cap space in the league. They have $60 million in space.
Yeah, so they could do it.
They could do Parsons and Hendrickson if they want.
Right. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. All right, Jeremy and Joe, quick golf question here because there's a guy, OilerNation.com, Tyler's Ace Race. He'd spent 24 hours trying to hit a hole-in-one, and it's streaming, and he did not do it. Is it over?
No, I think it sounds like they made him take a break last night because his hands were so...
Yikes.
Whatever. 1,940 balls it looked like he hit before he did that, he took a break, and he's going to pick it back up this morning.
Yeah, I have one question about this. You see this a lot on social media. Like, you get 24 hours to hit as many balls as it takes. Could you get a hole-in-one? Mm-hmm. And if you do, you win this, and if you don't, you go to jail or whatever. Like, these internet questions.
This one's just for charity. I don't think he's going to jail if he doesn't get it.
My question is, for this Tyler guy, his Ace Race, who on earth picked 160 as a distance? 160. Listen, that's not a big par three on a regular golf course. It's, you know, maybe mid-range. It's not short. You tell me if I'm going to hit golf balls for 24 hours, I'm going to try and beat 160?
160.
No, sir.
It's a little long.
What's the number here? Like, I want it to be 130?
I was going to say 110.
Sure, I'd love
110 to 135.
Okay.
I don't want to go much higher than that.
160.
Because I'm not going to... 160, I'm taking a full hack, right?
Yeah, it's full swing.
With whatever club I have. Whereas if I get down to 110, like certain clubs, you know, maybe my hands are getting a little, you know, the little raw or whatever, and I'm afraid of blisters or whatever. So, all right, let me hit an easier pitching wedge or something.
It's like
I have options. 160, I feel like I'm taking a full swing almost no matter
what. For sure, for sure. 160 is, again, I don't think it's not a big par three, but it's meaty enough.
And
yeah,
it makes me think about
you just don't have to do it.
No, right. Why do 160? It makes me think about the NFL draft where a team wants a first round pick and like, yeah, there's number one overall and then there's number 32 overall. Those are both in the first round. Those are both par threes.
Right.
What, Tyler, why not play one that's 205? Imagine if he said, like, yeah, I'm going to do a par three challenge. I'm going to hit 24 hours of golf balls. How long is the par three? Oh, 224.
Yeah.
What? Why would you do that?
Right.
There's a, what was the place at the LA Country Club? Wasn't there a hole that was 80 yards? An actual PGA?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The small, yeah. Maybe 93 yards. If they could play 93 on the tour, Tyler, in your charity event, cut that thing down.
81 yards.
81 yards on the tour.
Yeah, shortest hole ever played at a U.S. Open.
They played an 81-yard hole at the U.S. Open, and my guy Tyler's here playing 160 for 24 hours.
60.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Man, somebody help him out.
Yeah. Come on. That hole, I guess, is listed at 124, but for that tournament, they made it shorter on purpose to make it more difficult.
Okay.
Even 124.
Yes, play
that's
124.
A good number. That's a good number. Play it at 124. That's tough.
803-0550, our phone number. 1-888-550-2550.
Did you ever see yourself doing one of those?
24
hours, like, you got to hit a hole in one.
No.
For charity or whatever.
I mean, I'll try it for charity. If you told me you raised a lot of money.
You do 100 holes, which is its own grind.
I would try, but I would have no expectation of 24 hours
hitting
and 2,000 balls. I would get a hole in one. No expectation.
I would imagine you get worse and worse as the day goes on also.
Well, you would just get frustrated because you would hit one close and think, ooh, there was the swing.
And then the next one would be 30 yards away.
Right, trying to replicate that.
Yeah.
It'd be tough. I'd be happy to do it, but I wouldn't expect to make it. 160. Tyler. Doesn't make sense. All right. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. What do you think about the Bills going for, you know, Jordan Hancock at safety instead of Cole Bishop?
Yeah.
Could happen in the next couple weeks. At least Sal opened the door on that. 803-0550 is our phone number. 1-888-550-2550. Bengals and Commanders in the preseason last night. Got some fireworks there. Joe Burrow. Man, I would be driving to my head coach's house asking him what he's doing. You made your point. Bills have one preseason game left as well, of course, against the Bucs. How they're going to handle that, we will see. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.